Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I said I was going to preach on 1 Corinthians just on Thursday night, but I've got a message here that I really want to preach this morning. I think we'll do a lot of turning to scriptures too. I want us to look these scriptures up, as many as we can, because this is very important. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 1, verse 9. He says here, God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Now our subject's the fellowship of Jesus Christ. The fellowship of Jesus Christ. Now what does that mean? What does it mean to be called unto the fellowship of Jesus Christ? Well, the first thing it means is we're called into union with Christ. To union, living union with Christ. Look over at John 15. John chapter 15. And you'll want to mark that place. We're going to come back to John 17. John 15. Now, Christ is the life. We know that. Christ is the life. And union with Christ, a union with Christ, a living, vital union with Christ. Christ in you, you in Christ. That's the only way we can have spiritual life. That's the sole union with Christ is the sole means by which a sinner has spiritual life. Now look, Christ says that very thing. John 15:4. He says, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. And now there was his illustration, a branch and a vine. And now he says to us in verse 5, I am the vine. I am the vine. Ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Now look at Romans 11. Look at Romans chapter 11. Mark John 14 and then go to Romans 11. Now Paul used this same illustration of a branch and a vine. Remember he was talking about how the Gentiles and the Jews are made to partake of the same vine. Look here at Romans 11:17. He says, if some of the branches are broken off. These were not true, elect, chosen children of God. These were just natural sons of Abraham, he's talking about. Natural Jews. You know how you get a sucker on a tomato plant? A sucker on a tomato plant's not really a partaker of the vine. It's not going to produce any fruit. And you just break that sucker off, and it'll just snap right off. That's what they were. They were just suckers on the vine. And he says here they were broken off. And he says, but if thou, being a wild olive tree, and right there for tree, it should be a wild olive branch. If you, being a wild olive branch, were grafted in among them, and with them partakest, you partake of the root and the fatness of the olive tree. You see, Christ is the root. He's the olive tree. Just like he said, I'm the vine. Christ is the root. He's the olive tree. And we partake of His Spirit. We've been made to have His Spirit in us so that we're in Christ. Just like that branch is connected to the vine and the sap from the vine goes into the branch. That's the fatness. It goes into the branch and it gives the branch life. That's a believer. Christ, we've been grafted into Christ. We're one with Christ so that we have His Spirit dwelling in us and we're in Him. We get all our life from Christ. But look at verse 18. Boast not against the branches. Don't think you're better than one branch is better than another branch. If thou boast, remember this, thou bearest not the root. You're not the one giving life to the vine. You're not the one giving life to the root, to the olive tree. But the root is bearing you. You see what he said? When he says, you abide in me and I in you, you're not bearing Christ. Christ is bearing you. He's the vine. All right, so that's what it is. When God the Father calls us into fellowship with his Son, we receive spiritual life in Christ, union with Christ. So we're really in Christ. Let me show you another place, Galatians 2. Galatians 2 and verse 20. You see, this is why a dead sinner, you call on a dead sinner all day and tell him to repent, tell him to believe. But until Christ enters into his heart and spirit, he can't do it. He's just dead. You have to be, the Holy Spirit has to put you in Christ and Christ in you so that you have life. Now look here, this is what Paul said, Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ. Now, I really died when Christ really died, because I was in Christ when he died. And I died. I really died. It's not as if I died. I died when Christ died. Nevertheless, I live. Now I live. Now I've got life. Yet not I. I didn't give myself life. This life's not of myself. And we're not talking about that fleshly life I got from my mother and my father. That's not what we're talking about. That came from Adam. That's really death. That's not... The life I'm living now, look here, the life which I now live in the flesh, I've got life in this old dead flesh, not partaking with this dead flesh, separate from this dead flesh, but dwelling in this body of death, now I have life. And where is that life? I live it by the faith of the Son of God. By His faithfulness, Christ has entered into me, and there's my life. Christ the life dwelling in me. It's not I, it's Christ dwelling in me. Christ liveth in me. Now, other ways this union is spoken of in Scripture is it's spoken of as the head and the body and members in particular. You know, the only reason my little finger moves is because it's united to me. It's united to my body. That's it. And the only way that a believer has life is by the members, each member being united into the body. The church is the body. Each member in particular is a member, just like these members in this body. And the head is Christ. Christ is the head, His church is the body, and we're members in particular in Christ. Listen to this scripture. I won't have you turn there, but 1 Corinthians 12:12. He says, as the body is one and has many members, all the members of that one body, being many, are one body. So also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all. Paul's speaking of himself. He's talking about Apollos. He's talking about Peter. He's talking about me. He's talking about you. He's talking about every elect, regenerated child of God. All of it. By one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. Whether we be Jew or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, we've all been made to drink into one Spirit. We got one life, one Spirit, one heart. Isn't this amazing? You think about it. Okay, I'm a believer sitting right here. I got brethren down in Tennessee. They got the same Holy Spirit of God in them as I got in me. So, you know what the result's going to be? If they hurt, I'm going to hurt. If they rejoice, I'm going to rejoice. Just because we're divided, they're not in my local congregation, I'm not in their local congregation, that don't mean we're not one. We're one. We got one Spirit dwelling in us. We've got one life in us. Let me illustrate it this way. Ravi, when your kids get grown and y'all all get separated, me and my mom and dad and sister, we're all separated. Well, if something happens to one of those children and they're hurting, Robbie's going to hurt, Debbie's going to hurt, Faith's going to hurt, Peter's going to hurt, Sarah's going to hurt, Chloe's going to hurt, because they're one family. They're one family. Well, it's even more with Christ's church, because we're born of one spirit. One spirit. And so we feel what each other feel. Another way it's spoken of is the husband and a wife. Listen to Ephesians 5:31. For this cause shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. Now, is Christ teaching us husbands to have a bunch of wives? No, he's teaching us you've got one bride. One bride. And he says here, this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Christ has one bride. He loved it. He loved her. He gave himself for it. That one church. And my favorite is John 17. Go there. I want you to see how he speaks of this union there. Union. And this union won't ever be severed. We'll never be separated. Once this union is... And this union began mysteriously in before the foundation of the world. Of God are you in Christ Jesus. He put us in Christ because we'd be born of Christ. We were in his loins before the foundation of the world. Look at this. Now we're in him vitally by the Spirit dwelling in us. Look here. John 17:21. Christ prayed that they all may be one. Now, what does he mean by one? What's the definition of this being one? Here it is. As thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee. You get that? That's the oneness we're talking about. How one is God the Father and God the Son? Would you dare say they're divided in anything? Nothing. That's how one we are in Christ. He said that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. Verse 22, and the glory which thou gavest me, I've given them, that they may be one. How so? Even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one. And that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. You know what this world knows about us? You know what this world around us knows about us? This is what this world knows and hates about us. This is what this world knows and hates about Christ. This is what men always say about our gospel. It's not fair. You know what it is they hate? They hear us preach it, and they see it, and they understand this, at least in their head. God loved us just like he loved Christ. That's a special love. That's a particular love. That's a love that's distinguishing. And this world knows that. I think this world knows that. That's why they hate our gospel, and they hate our God, and they hate us. But it's amazing, brethren. You're a habitation. You're a habitation. You're a dwelling place. Say, I live in a habitation. I live in a... But you are a habitation. You're a habitation of God through the Spirit. Isn't that something? Now, all right. Now, that's the first thing this is. To be called into the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, is to be united with Christ. All right. Secondly, fellowship with Christ means we're partakers with Christ. We're partakers with Christ. Turn to 2 Peter 1. We're partakers with Christ. You know, all of these truths just sort of blend. Let me see here. Is that right? 2 Peter? Yeah. 2 Peter 1:4. All these truths, you know, sometimes they don't seem like they're that far apart from each other because they all blend together and they're just sort of little additions to what we just said, but here's an addition to what we just said. Now this is as essential as it is amazing. This is essential. When God calls us unto fellowship in His Son, when we're united with Christ, Peter says we become partakers of Christ's nature. Look here, 2 Peter 1:4. They're given unto us exceeding great and precious promises in this gospel. We're born of that incorruptible seed by the word preached in the gospel. That by these you might be partakers of the divine nature. Now, that's essential. It's absolutely essential. We're partakers of Christ's holy nature. And that's essential, brethren, because he says there, that's how we have escaped the corruption that's in the world through lust, beginning with the corruption of our old sin nature. That corruption of our old sin nature that was just made us, we just followed his lust all the time. The only way we're delivered and escape the corruption of that lust is for Christ's nature to be formed in us so that we're partakers with his nature. Now we have a new will. Now we have a new heart. Now we have a new love. Now we have new desires. This is what makes you love what you once hated and hate what you once loved, to be made a partaker of the divine nature. Now, when this happens and he brings us to behold Christ, he speaks something into the court of our conscience and he makes us to know something. Two things. We're made partakers of this. Now, I'm going to give you the same illustration I gave Thursday night, just slightly different. It's a little slightly different than the, I put it in the bulletin. It's a little slightly different than in the bulletin. But you'll get it. When Adam broke the law in the garden, all Adam's children were in Adam. We were in his loins. Just like when Abraham paid tithes, Levi was in his loins so that Levi paid tithes in Abraham. Well, same token, we were in Adam's loins. All his children were. So when Adam broke God's law, we broke God's law. And we became unrighteous by Adam's disobedience. Righteousness has to do with the keeping of the law. Unrighteousness is the breaking of that law. We became unrighteous by Adam's disobedience. But we didn't have a being yet. We didn't have a being yet till we were born of Adam. And then when we were born of Adam, by his incorruptible seed in natural generation, you know what happened? We became partakers of Adam's fallen nature. We became unholy, sinful. And so when you're born again, God, the first thing God teaches you is this lesson. He teaches you what you are. And he charges you in the court of that new man, in the conscience of that new man, after he's purged your conscience, he charges you with sin. Makes you to know you're a sinner. And the charge is just. God said in the Old Testament law, you don't charge a man with what he's not. We don't settle for a judge to do that in our land. You'd kick a judge off the bench and protest if you went into the court and you were innocent. And everybody that went in that court, a righteous man, he's pronounced him wicked, declared him wicked. You say he's not, that judge is not just. And the wicked man, he declared him righteous. God said, you declare a man what he is. So when God said you're a sinner, it's a just charge. Because God only, the judge of all the earth shall do right. And he only judges according to how it is. When he said you were a sinner, were you a sinner? Absolutely. Why? That's what Adam made me. He made me that. He made me that. By one man's disobedience were many made sinners. Well, all the credit goes to Adam for making me a sinner. And then when Christ fulfilled the law, all his children were in his loins. All his children were in his loins. Of God are ye in Christ Jesus. He chose a people and put us in Christ before the foundation of the world. And we were in his loins from the foundation of the world. And when Adam fulfilled the law, we fulfilled the law. I mean, when Christ fulfilled the law, we fulfilled the law in Christ. We fulfilled it perfectly in Christ, so we were made righteous by his obedience. And then, we don't have a being, though. I'm talking about as that child of God, as God's workmanship, as that trophy of his grace. We don't have a being until we're born of Christ. You say, well, I had a being. You had a being from Adam when you're dead in your sin, but you didn't have this new man created in you yet. And we got to be born of Christ. And when we're born of Christ and we're united with Christ, we're partakers of his divine nature so that now we're not only righteous by Christ's obedience, we're holy by Christ's obedience. And when God, in the court of that conscience, once he's pronounced you a sinner and declared you a sinner, made you to see your need, now he makes you to see what Christ has done. And when he brings you to fall at his feet and worship him, he declares in the court of your conscience, you're righteous. Is God saying something that's not? Is he just treating you like you're righteous? No, sir. So by one man's obedience shall many be made righteous. When God says you're righteous, friends, you're righteous. God don't call it what it's not. No, sir. You're righteous. You're righteous. You're righteous. If a man knows he's a partaker of Adam's sinful nature, if a man really knows that and really knows how devastating that is, that he's dead, I don't know how in the world, why in the world he'd want to deny that a believer's made a partaker of the divine nature. Why would you want to deny that? These two are not together. When Paul said, in my flesh dwells nothing good, he's not talking about the divine nature. He's talking about that product of Adam, that old man of Adam. That's what's not good. Everything God makes is good. And if he created a new man, that new man is what he made it. And whatever he made it, that's what it is. And that's the only way we're united with Christ. Christ is in that man, and that man's in Christ. You can't separate them. You can only call that man evil if you call Christ evil, because they're that one. They're that united. You get what I'm saying? We're partakers of everything Christ accomplished by his obedience. And then fellowship with Christ means we partake in God's spirit of faithfulness and God's spirit of love. Turn to 1 John. Now let me say that again. I want you to get this, because you may not have heard this before. May not have heard it put that way. Fellowship with Christ means we're partaking of God's spirit of faith and God's spirit of love. This is how we believe and this is how we love. We're made to partake of Christ's faith and Christ's love. That's how we're made to believe and to love. That's how we're made faithful and how we're made to love. God loved us, but we couldn't love God. We could not, as long as we was in that old man, we couldn't. That old man's enmity against God. That's all he is. And we couldn't love God until God entered in spirit and put his love in our hearts. In that new man, made us partakers of his love in our new man. Then we can love now. Look here, 1 John 4:10. Herein is love, 1 John 4, verse 10. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son, the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. But while we were in our sin, we couldn't. We couldn't love God and we couldn't love one another. There wasn't any love in us. Paul said we hated God and hated one another. Now look at this. No man hath seen God at any time. God's a spirit, so how are we going to love him then? In spirit, that's the only way we can. We got to be made new. All right, look. If we love one another, if we want love one another, here's how we do it. God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. That's the only way we love. God dwells in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him and he in us, because he's given us of his spirit. You could say that this way. Hereby know we dwell in him and he in us. Because we love now. He's given us of his spirit of love. And we love God and our brethren now. We didn't before. Now we do. That's how we know. We dwell in God and God dwells in us. Nor could we believe on Christ, nor could we confess Christ till he put the spirit of faith in us. That's from him. Look here, 1 John 4:14. And we've seen and we do testify that the Father sent the Son, the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God. Whoever can openly say publicly, Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And everything that includes, he's God's elect, he's God's righteousness, he's the one I'm predestinated unto, he's my all, he's all salvation. Everything that is included in calling him the Son of God. He's my life, resurrection, truth, bread, everything. Look here. The man that can confess that, here's the only reason he can. God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed. That the love of God, that the love that God hath to us. God is love. Here's the only way we knew that and the only way we believe that. He that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God and God in him. The only way we believed, the only way we confessed him was God dwelled in us and we in him. And the only way that we love is we dwell in God and God dwells in us. That's, we're made partakers of faith and love when Christ the faithful one, when Christ the beloved enters in and makes us partakers of faith and love. You get that? Partakers of his faith and his love. That's the only way we can believe and the only way we can love. All right, turn to 1 John 1. Fellowship with Christ means we're partakers of this. We're just on this second point, and I just got 2 points, so don't think I'm going to sit here and hold you forever. Fellowship with Christ means we're partakers. We're talking about being partakers of all these things with Christ. Partakers of his nature, partakers of his faith and his love, so that we believe and we love. And we're partakers of everything he accomplished by his obedience, his righteousness and his holiness. And then we're partakers now of fellowship with the Father and with fellow believers. We're partakers of that. Does Christ have fellowship with the Father and with all his brethren? Sure he does. They're one. And he's made us to have that same fellowship with them. Look, 1 John 1:3. That which we have seen and hath heard declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us. The only way to have this is through the gospel. Now let me tell you what this does not mean. This, Paul, John's not saying we've preached the gospel to you so that we can all come together in this place and we can all get together in the back, drink coffee and eat a coffee cake and talk about how much we love each other and we just fellowship, have a good time, and we can go over here to my house together and eat crawfish and have a good time. He's not talking about that. He's talking about this union that we have in Christ. This union we have with Christ in us and us in Christ. That's what he's talking about here. It includes all that other stuff, but this is what we're talking about. You can have that other stuff and not have this union. But we're talking about this union. All right, look. And it's only by the gospel. So he said, we declare this to you that you might have this fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We're united with him and the Father. This then is the message which we have, verse 4, and these things write we unto you that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. Later he said, no lies of a truth. There's no lie that's of the truth. A lie is darkness. And there's no lie that's of the truth. God is all truth. God is all light. Now look. If we say that we have fellowship with him, that's what every religious person said, I've got fellowship with God. I heard a preacher one time that actually acted like he was in the middle of preaching and God spoke to him. And he said, okay, God, I'll tell them that. Folks come to me, they hear I'm a preacher, they come to Melinda at work and say, your husband's a pastor, I'm wanting so-and-so and so-and-so, would you ask him to ask God if he'll give that to me? I don't have a red phone in my office. I can just pick it up and call God. That's not what we're talking about here. No, we're not talking about a familiarity with God that's flippant and so that we God's sanctified in our heart. We see who God is. We see how holy he is and how reverent his name is. And we don't come to God in any shape, form, or fashion in flippancy or familiarity. He's holy. And everybody approaches him, better approach him that way, or you'll be a burnt little spot in the ground like Nadab and Abihu. Not playing. That's serious. But he's made us now to where we have communion with him, fellowship with him, union with him. Look, but if we say we have fellowship with him, verse 6, and we walk in darkness, we walk in the darkness of the lie of man-exalting, free will works religion. And I'm telling you, he's not talking about sin, because later he says, if you say you don't sin, you're a liar. We're going to take for granted you're a sinner. Now, he's going to say don't walk in sin. But right here, he's talking about that lie of man-exalting, free will works religion. We say we have fellowship with God, and that's the message we delight in. Because right here he's talking about how we preach this gospel, that you might have true fellowship. So if we say we have fellowship with God, but that's the message we delight in, he says we lie and we do not what? The truth. We don't do the truth. But if we walk in the light, if we've got this message now in our heart, and he's put it there by this gospel preach, we got it in our heart, as he's in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Now that's what you have through the gospel. Can two walk together except they be in agreement? When we have the same faith, by the same Spirit, by the same truth, we have fellowship with the Father, fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ, and fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us of all our sin. Our fellowship is in the gospel. Our fellowship's in the gospel. That's the only kind of spiritual fellowship that exists. Do you know that? Men can talk about having fellowship with God. The only fellowship that exists is in the truth of God. That's the only fellowship that exists. The only fellowship that exists. Christ is the truth. Every doctrine of truth gives Christ all the glory and man zero. That's how you know if it's true or not. It gives God all the glory and man zero. If a man talks about his will doing something, mark that off, that's not truth. That just took Christ's glory and gave it to man. It's not true. The truth glorifies him. And there's where our fellowship is. It's in the gospel. We have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. And the world doesn't understand this. They don't understand Christ is the tie that... We don't just sing Christ is the tie that binds. He really is the tie that binds. That's why this gospel is called the fellowship of the mystery. It's hidden to this world. This world's religion don't know this. And we have fellowship in ministering to the saints. That's what it's called in Scripture. Fellowship of ministering to the saints. We minister gladly to the saints here and wherever they are in this world. Because we hurt when they hurt, rejoice when they rejoice. I ran my first 5K race yesterday. And I can tell you from experience of trying to get out of the bed this morning, if one member of my body hurts, it all hurts. My whole body hurts. And that's true with Christ's body. When one member hurts, we all hurt. So we minister to one another. And here's the best part. We are joint partakers of everything Christ possesses. Everything Christ possesses, we possess. Listen to this. This is what makes the church of God so peaceful. We're not competing with each other. We're not trying to get a better reward than our brother or our sister. We are joint heirs with Christ. Everything that belongs to Christ belongs to each of us jointly, equally. When he took on the seed of Abraham, he took our nature. His life became our life. His suffering became our suffering. His righteousness became our righteousness. His death became our death. His resurrection became our resurrection. Now his righteousness is ours. His holiness is ours. His acceptance with God at God's right hand is ours. Your life is hid with Christ in God. And now his Father's our Father. He said, I go to my God and your God, my Father and your Father. Now his kingdom's our kingdom. He said, I appoint unto you a kingdom as my Father has appointed unto me. His throne's our throne. Whew. Clay, you didn't say that. Yeah, that's what the Scripture said. Christ said, to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. You mean I'm going to sit in a big chair somewhere with Christ? No. It means we're going to reign with Christ. There's where his throne's at, reigning. Wherever he's at, reigning with him. And his inheritance is our inheritance, and his glory is our glory. He said, if children, then you're heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we also may be glorified together with him. We're joint heirs with him of his inheritance, and we're glorified together with him. We'll be. Isn't that amazing? So see, go back now to 1 Corinthians 1:10. Let me just read this. It's just like Christ said it is. In the beginning of the message, he said, they're one, Father, even as we're one. And that's how it is. That's really how it is. Now listen to this. This is why Paul says this. This is Paul's point, obviously. And this is why he says this. Now let you and I endeavor. I mean endeavor. You have a divisive thought coming to your mind. To be critical of somebody, to not obey the gospel you hear coming forth from this pulpit, to speak evil against it. There's a lot of things I'm going to speak from here you're not going to understand. Just like there's a lot of things you fathers say to your children and your children don't understand. What would you do if one of the children went back to one of your other children and said, don't listen to Dad, he doesn't know what he's talking about. God will teach him, but he don't know what he's talking about right now. You'd say, come here to me, boy, what's wrong with you? You're rejecting the authority that God's put over you. Same thing, if I say something in this pulpit that I've studied and I know is so, and it's for the good of this congregation, and men reject it, telling their children, don't listen to that, don't obey that, you're in the place of Korah. Careful you don't get swallowed up. But endeavor, put that away. That's the old man. Put that away. Hate that, detest that. And here's what Paul says, verse 10. 1 Corinthians 1:10. I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, by this union we have, that you speak, you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. And that's what we'll be if we've truly been called into the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let's stand together, brethren. Father, what great, great thanks we have to give to you that you called us, that you called us into this fellowship, this union, making us partakers with Christ of everything He is and everything He has accomplished and everything He provides and everything that belongs to Him. We are truly one in Christ. Lord God, you've called us to that. How we do thank you. Make us to truly have the heart of oneness. Put off our baby carnal flesh and grow us in that inward man that we might be strong in the faith and strong in this union by Christ and by your grace. Forgive us, Lord, of our sins. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen.